The Bible is the inspired Word of God, revealing the mind of God to the world. Through our diligent study and examination of its teachings, we will learn all of the things God requires of us in order to receive His blessings. We invite you now to take your Bible and study along with our speaker, Kevin Beard, as Churches of Christ present Bible Talk.
We know the Bible teaches us that we ought to pray. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing." All that passage means is that we should never allow a time to come in our lives when we have ended the practice of prayer. Prayer needs to be a regular part of our lives. And so, when we think about prayer and what the Bible says about it, we know that it teaches that prayer is very important, but also prayer is something very powerful and effective for us. James tells us that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And so it is a great benefit to the lives of Christians. But as we think about prayer, we need to understand that it is a communication with God that is based on a confidence that we have. You see, if we pray without really understanding the nature of prayer and the nature of our relationship with God and perhaps even the nature of God Himself, you know, maybe just thinking that prayer is nothing short of some sort of self-help practice, just by encouraging myself through the practice of admitting my shortcomings and facing up to my faults or that sort of thing, you know. Some people think that's all there is to prayer. It's just a self-help kind of thing, basically, but that's not the way it is. James tells us that when we pray and ask God for what we need, that we are to ask in faith. James 1, 5 and 6. Ask in faith. Now, that word faith there is a word that I think in that context we understand as referring to, at least in part, great confidence. We have confidence in God when we pray. That is, we believe God. We believe that, of course, there is a God who's there to listen to our prayers. But also we believe that this God is personally involved in our lives enough that He wants to hear what we say to Him. He wants us to come to Him. And when we do come to Him with prayer, then He listens. He pays attention to what we say. And He responds in a favorable way. Now, these are all things that we need to be firmly convinced about. Because James tells us that if we ask doubting, then we're like a double-minded man. Unstable in all our ways. Double-minded. I see this as a man who is constantly going back and forth between different ways of viewing things. You know, if you watch a tennis match, or if you watch people who are watching a tennis match, you can watch their heads going back and forth as they follow the ball bouncing back and forth over the net. Well, that idea of going back and forth, the ball bouncing back and forth over the net, the people looking this way and that way as they follow that ball, that's the image that comes to my mind when I think of that idea of double-minded. You see, here's a man who can't settle on one thing. Is God there or is He not? Will God listen or will He not? Will God answer my prayer or will He not? Can God answer my prayer or can He not? See, this idea of doubting creates this instability mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And James says, let not that man think that he will receive anything from the Lord. And so we see how important it is for us to have confidence in prayer. If we lack confidence in prayer, and regardless of what it is about prayer that our confidence lacks, that is, if we lack a confidence that there is a God to listen, or that the God who's there wants to hear us, or that the God who's there wants to give us what we're asking for, whatever the nature of this lack of confidence, we see the danger in that lack of confidence. In the fact that James says, if we do ask doubting, we're not to think that we're going to receive anything from the Lord. does us no good to pray without confidence. And yet, we see that when we do pray with confidence, that we can have every expectation to receive what we need from the Lord. Over in 1 John chapter 5, John makes a statement here that I want us to think about today relating to the confidence that we should have in prayer. In 1 John 5, starting with verse 13, John said, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. And so, from all of this, and especially from this passage here in 1 John, I want us to think today and to examine the Scriptures today to see what it is about confidence in prayer. How can we build our confidence in prayer? How can we know that prayer is, in fact, this powerful, effective means of communicating with God whenever we may choose to do so? Well, first of all, let's understand that our confidence in prayer is based upon the nature of God. Now, we're going to be looking at a lot of things from the book of 1 John, and as we just flip through the pages of 1 John and just sort of skim some of the things that he says about God in here and the way that he refers to God and so on, there are a number of times in this short book where John refers to God as our Father. Our Father, chapter 2, verse 1, he calls Him. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." Chapter 3 and verse 1, and so on. God is our Father. Now, think about why God chose to refer to Himself as our Father. Why did God choose to describe this relationship we have with Him with that image? Well, when we think of a father, we think of one who loves his children, one who is able to provide for his children, one who's able to protect his children, his family, his household, and so on. All of these characteristics are true of God in His relationship with us through Jesus Christ. God is a loving Father toward us who is willing and able to provide everything that we need. Jesus talked about the certainty of prayer that we can have over in Luke chapter 12, and the fact that God, since He is our Father, knows how to give what we need. And there in Luke 12, verses 6 and 7, He talks about the fact that God knows us. He's so familiar with us that He is always mindful of where we are and our state in life and so on. He says, "Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." God is well acquainted with us and with what we need. And you know, just like a father knows how to give good things to his children, so God knows how to give good things to us. Jesus made the same point there about the relationship of a father to his children and so on, and what he gives to them and all of these kinds of things, you know. If a son asks for one thing, will the father give him something meaningless or dangerous or completely without merit? Of course not. The Father is going to give what the child needs. So it is with the way God treats us. As we pray, then, we can have great confidence that our prayer is meaningful because we are asking our Father. Remember, when the disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray, He said, "Here's how you should pray. Our Father who art in heaven." We don't pray to a dictator. We don't pray to some sort of slave owner. We pray to a Father. Because our Father knows us. He knows our needs. And He wants to fulfill those needs, to provide the things that we cannot provide for ourselves. As we think about God being our Father then, and the fact that when we go to Him in prayer, we're asking our Father for what we, His children, need, that will produce great confidence in our prayer. Another thing that we see about the nature of God here from 1 John, in 1 John 4 and verse 8, John says, "He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." God is love. It's interesting to me that John there uses that description that way. He does not say God loves, though that's true. But rather he says God is love. Now think about that and what that implies. If God is love, what does that mean about our confidence in prayer? God loves us. Well, of course God loves us because God is love. It is His very nature to love. To separate love from God would be to separate Him from who He is. You just cannot do that. You cannot separate love from God. And so it would be impossible for God to stop loving us because God is love. How do we know that God loved us? Well, He sent His Son. By this we know the love of God, John says. Over in 1 John 3 and verse 16, he says, "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." We know love. We know that God loves us because of what God did for us. Over in Romans 5, Paul tells us that God demonstrated His love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's how He demonstrated His love for us. Is there any doubt that God loves His children? Well, of course not. And since God loves us, then our prayers will always be important to Him, because we know the nature of love that God showed toward us is that He will always do what is best for us. This kind of love we're talking about is the self-sacrificing love that always does seek what is best for the ones that He loves. God seeks what is best for us because He loves us. That being the case, then, when I come to God with my requests, with my needs, my petitions, and so on in my prayer, then because God loves me, God wants to do what is best for me. So that should produce confidence when I pray. God loves me and wants to do what I need. The nature of God undergirds our confidence in prayer. But something else that we see from 1 John over in chapter 3 and verse 20. John says, "For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things." God knows all things. God is all-knowing. God is all-wise. This attribute of God also helps to build our confidence in prayer. Now, my children may come to me and they may ask, "What do I need to do in this circumstance?" Or, "What's the best way to do this or that?" Or they may ask me something and I may not know. I may have to tell them, "I just don't know." That's not going to happen with God. God knows all things. God is all wise. Whatever problem I have, God knows the solution to it. Whatever need I have, God knows how to fulfill it. Whatever problem I have, God knows how to fix it. God is all-knowing, God is all-wise, and because of that, every time I come to Him in prayer, I can have great confidence because I don't have to worry about whether the response I get from God is going to work, whether it's going to be appropriate, whether it's going to be sufficient, because God knows all. As we think about the attributes of God, the nature of God, as John talks about them here, in 1 John 1, verse 5, John says that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. Here he's talking about the moral purity and holiness of God. There is absolutely nothing evil about God. So when I come and ask God for what I need, I don't have to worry about any ulterior motives that God may have. I don't have to worry about whether God might be in some sort of evil mood to where He just wants to do something bad to me. People may treat us that way sometimes. People may do things to us just to see us suffer. God's not going to do that. God is perfectly good and perfectly holy. Everything that God gives us then will be exactly what we need. James tells us that God is the giver of every good and perfect gift. It's interesting in that passage there in James 1:17 that when James says every good gift and every perfect gift, same English word there, gift, but it's two different Greek words. One refers to that which is given. The other refers to the act of giving. And what I see in that is a twofold level of confidence in prayer. God, who is perfectly good, is only going to do what is perfectly right. And so what He gives me is going to be good for me. And the way He gives it is going to be the best way possible. Now, as we think about all of this, God's nature, being our Father, the One who loves us, the One who is all-knowing, and the One who is perfectly good and holy, that this is the One that we're approaching with our needs and our desires and our petitions and so on in prayer. We can have all the confidence in the world that this God will answer our prayers and will do so in a way that is perfect for what we truly need. A second thing, though, about achieving a confidence in prayer is faith. Faith is an important thing in prayer. And I know that's kind of how we started off, and we almost equated, and in a sense, I guess, did equate asking in faith with asking in confidence. But here, faith, we need to understand, is that important aspect of this relationship that we do have with God. Let's go back to 1 John 5, the passage we noted at the outset. And we see there in verse 13 again, "These things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." Notice that idea that they believe as a result of the things they've been taught. And He taught them these things so that they could continue to believe and as a result have confidence. Our faith. How do we know that God exists? Well, we know that by faith. Faith, of course, comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The evidence presented here in God's Word proves to us that God exists. But we have faith in that. And we live by faith. We live with a confidence that says, I know God is real. I know God is alive. I know God is all the things the Bible says He is. And because I know these things, I will devote my life to Him and I will believe His promises and trust what He says. This faith is necessary to a right relationship with God. John mentions this faith in a number of places. In 1 John 5, verse 1, for example, he says, whoever believes that Jesus Christ is born of God. Or rather, he says, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves Him who begot also loves Him who is begotten of Him. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, as we study all of what the New Testament teaches, let's understand that belief and faith are often used to refer to all of what's involved in coming to God and staying in a right relationship with Him. Faith is the key. Faith is what moves us. Faith is what motivates us. Now, we believe that Jesus is the Christ. That's the very root of all of God, of what God gave us for salvation. Jesus, the Son of God, lived a perfect life so that He could be the sacrifice for our sins. He died as that sacrifice for our sins, shedding His blood to pay the penalty, to satisfy God's justice that we might be forgiven. And He was raised from the dead to prove that He was the Son of God and to conquer death, giving us the hope of eternal life. We come to God based on all of that, believing all of those things, trusting in all of what He said, and putting all of that into action by obeying the commands He's given us in the gospel to repent and to be baptized. And thus begins our relationship with God. But this relationship continues in life as a result of this faith that continues to lead us and guide us and to strengthen us and to grow in our lives. In verse 5 there in 1 John, we go on and we see, who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So faith not only is the basis for the relationship we have with God, but faith also is what enables us to overcome. We do have an enemy, an adversary, the devil who walks around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, how do we overcome him? By faith. Faith, you see, is that key. Faith is so important. And because of this faith, we have confidence that we have eternal life. Verse 14. Now, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. This confidence in prayer comes as a result of our appreciating the nature of God, but it also comes as a result of the faith that we have in God. Now, one more thing I want us to notice about confidence in prayer, and that is that confidence in prayer can exist only when a right relationship with God exists. Let's go back to 1 John 3. In verse 22, John says, "And whatever we ask, we receive from Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." Now, that's an important connection to make, isn't it? Whatever we ask, we have from Him. It doesn't stop there. That's true because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. In other words, so long as we live faithfully for the Lord, we have this confidence in Him. We have this belief in Him that moves us to do all that we do. But it moves us to obey Him. You see, a right relationship with God depends upon obedience to God's commands. 1 John 2, verses 3 through 5 emphasize this as well, where John here says, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him." Now, how do we know that we are in God? John said it's by keeping his commandments. God demands a life of submission to his will, a life of faithfulness to his cause, a life of work in his kingdom. We keep his commands, and thus that right relationship determines this ongoing, or rather that obedience determines this ongoing relationship with God that we have. And because we have that ongoing right relationship with God, then we have this confidence in prayer. In 1 John 5, 2 and 3, John said, "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." And so, our faithfulness to God, our love for God, all of this demonstrated in our keeping His commands. This right relationship, then, is important in maintaining this right to come to God in prayer, and thus having a confidence in prayer. Now, let's notice that the Lord does make it clear that if we do not keep His commands, then we should not expect to have any kind of confidence in our prayer. Back in the book of Proverbs, we find an important statement to consider here. In Proverbs 28, verse 9, it says, "One who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." So what if I just choose to stop living faithfully for the Lord? I choose to stop doing those things that He commands me to do. Well, the principle expressed there in Proverbs 28 says, my prayer becomes an abomination. Think about why that would be the case. Here I am praying to God. Now, prayer is, by its nature, an expression of need and dependence toward God. We're asking Him for those things that only He can provide. By virtue of the fact that we're praying to Him, we're saying that God can do some things that we cannot do for ourselves. And so we come to Him asking. But coming to Him asking Him also admits to a dependence on Him. It admits to a superiority that God has over us. If we come to God in prayer expressing those things by virtue of the fact that we are praying to Him, while at the same time in our lives on a daily basis we're saying, I don't respect God. I won't obey His will. I will not live in submission to Him. Then should we expect God to respect our prayers? Should we expect God to give us the things that we ask for when we refuse to live the kind of life that He demands that we live? See, that just doesn't make any sense, does it? It makes perfect sense that confidence in prayer would be connected with a faithfulness to God and an ongoing obedience to His commands. Now, this right relationship with God is not just a ritualistic keeping of commands. That's not it at all. Love is what motivates this right relationship. Because of our love for Him, we want to be close to Him. We want to do what God tells us to do because we understand that those things are for our good. And the more we submit ourselves to the laws of God and the commands of God and the ways of God, the more like God we become. And that's what we're looking for. That's what we seek if we really do love God. So, this right relationship with God is motivated by love and faith, and obedience results from all of that. And because of all of these things, then we can come to God in full confidence. Because we know who God is. And we know what God is like. He's all-knowing. He loves us. He is our Father. And we trust that. We trust what He says. And because we're living a kind of life that God approves of, then we know that we have no reason to fear Him. We have no reason to expect any condemnation from Him. And that right relationship just opens the avenue of prayer up to us to become such a valuable part of our lives. Now then, we see the importance of that confidence that we have in prayer. Well, I hope you are living a life that allows you to be confident in prayer. Hope you have that kind of relationship with the Lord as a result of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. See, that's the only way that we can have that pleasing attribute of God expressed in our lives.